proposed to the 1 o'clock meeting in the office committee. Let's open the meeting with a moment of silent meditation, followed by the serenity prayer.
God, grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
What do we have first on the agenda?
Well, maybe I ought to mention a few things that we're going to be dealing with a little differently tomorrow morning, so that we all know, after John's talk, which will be
at
9.
Introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Joe Phelan. I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic.
Hi, Joe.
My name is Keith Strickland, and I'm an alcoholic.
Okay. I just assume that we all know each other. But two things that will be a little bit different. Number one, there'll be a roll call for delegate availability. It won't be firm and hard because that decision is made finally in September, but it gives us an opportunity, everybody, all the GSRs, to see the possibilities. And we'll keep a record of who is available, and we'll see that it gets in the message the next time so folks can look at it and think about it. In addition, Lillian has, of course, resigned, as we know, with love and regret from all of us, too. And I will be asking for open nominations for the state secretary's job. That election, it will be happening in an off year. It's not supposed to happen for another couple of years, but since Lillian was reelected last September. But we will work that in the September assembly to also vote for the new state secretary. And thirdly, the manual which came out of the September 66th formation of the assembly, and which was distributed 6 years ago in Alan Royston's last year as state delegate, will be covered by the chairperson, particularly in the areas that have already come up, so that there will be a beginning of communication for our trusted servants to use, to know, to understand, and be aware of our state service manual. I will hope that the next delegate, the next group, would have additional workshops as time went on, because it saves an awful lot of problems if we all know what guidelines we've got. And of course, AA is a true democracy, and there are ways to change that manual if the group conscience is consistent and strong over a period of about a year, three assemblies to say the least. So that we'll start with that. Those are things that are a little bit different, and I'd welcome any input from any of you on any of those items. I think we're okay with it. That's what I had in my mind, Keith.
Okay.
Thank you, John. Keith. I'm John Langston, alcoholic. And if things keep on the rest of this weekend like I started out then, I'm in the hell of a mess. In the district committee members meeting, I'm going to talk a little bit about the workshop that we had in Albany, which was a great workshop for you. And the one that we have coming up in District 5 is Don Miller putting together, and it's got a purpose for these is that AA is growing so rapidly now, and they're talking about sending all of the more and more drunks to us from the courts and from hospitals and things. That one of the three assemblies a year is just not going to do it, and I see no way that we could have more than that to maintain what we have. I think the best way to handle it, from talking with all of you, is by having workshops around over the state, north, east, south, and west Georgia and middle Georgia. Now, we started out real good. In fact, we started this during Joe's tenure, and we've continued it and expanded on it. And it took a little while for it to catch on, but it is going now, and we hopefully the new delegate, chairperson, and those in the office committee will, with the help of the district committee members, keep these things going, because we really do need them. It's been customary, because of the inflation, to increase the small stipend that the delegate gets. I know when I was asking Bob, who goes back a good little ways, how much he got, I think he said $300, wasn't it? Bob spent about $750, $1,000, he tells me. Joe got $750. Alan, what'd you get? Alan, $500.
I spent that on postage.
Yeah. And Joe, $750, and I get $1,000. I've facetiously said that I spend that much on telephone calls, but that ain't too far from right. One of the qualifications for a delegate is that he be able partially to defray his expenses. I don't even like that, but that's the way it has to be. I don't think that should be one of the things that we look at when we're electing trusted servants, whether they can afford it or not. If AA ever gets to that point, then we're in trouble. So I'm going to make a motion to the district committee members with, and see what you people in the office committee think about it. Mine is $1,000. I would suggest that we increase the delegates' expenses to $1,200 a year. That would be $100 a month. I know that I have spent already close to $3,000. And I don't regret it. I'm glad to do it. But we are going to have to do a little bit better toward self-support. If you think about it, this wouldn't be very much. It would actually be $100 a month. Any delegate's going to spend quite a bit more than $100 a month. He gets that plus his hotel room, and that's it. You have to eat where you go. And a lot of places that the delegate is asked to come, and he should go, don't recompense him for his expenses, either traveling or sometimes a room and things like this. So there's a great deal of expense to it. I would suggest $1,200 a month. How does this strike everybody here? This is just something that I came up with. I'd like to have some feedback from you.
You make that $1,200 a month, I'll run
for it. I mean $1,200 a year. Yeah, you can do it again. $1,200 a year, $100 a month. Keith, what do you think?
What was it we decided at our meeting at the office?
That's about what we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, that is.
We were pretty much agreeing.
Joe, look, Frank?
I'm okay with that.
Alan?
I would say $1,250, because the next increase will probably be $252, making even $1,500.
$1,250? All right. $1,251.
We can stop a lot of this invitation to the delegate without compensation.
Save a lot.
By talking about it.
All right.
If you don't mention it constantly up there, they never know. They think it's part of your responsibility and part of the state's expects to send someone there.
Alan, I heard at a meeting I went to, and they must have had, I don't know, but they had one hell of a big crowd. And I was talking, and this came up, and they said, you're not supposed to pay anything for AA work.
Well,
I don't know where the hell they get
you weren't paid. Paying. They weren't paying you for AA work. They were paying you for your expenses that you got paid.
But there are people
who have, and I heard that. If they ever meet me, he'll mention that. Ever since I mentioned the fact that if you're going to invite the delegate for an alternate, be sure you cover their expenses.
I get more now as a delegate than I did as alternate. I didn't get.
I didn't know I was supposed to get anything back when I was a delegate, so I didn't bother.
Everybody think $1,250 would be a reasonable figure to give to the committee members?
Well, as secretary, treasurer, not secretary, I think that we stress the fact that our donations have been running the same from the groups for the past 3 years, and that we ought to ask them if they go along with this to increase their donations accordingly.
Okay. Any dissensions from this?
No. I think there's another point. The neighboring state of Florida, South Florida, I get their numbers, and their delegate is paid by actual expense. And they run anywhere from $3,500 to $4,500, depending on whether there's an international a year. Yeah. So, I mean, this is still very, very
modest. The economic situation compared to Florida is entirely different. They contribute like $75,000 or $100,000 a year down there, and we don't come anywhere near that. So it's based on economics, really. But I do know and feel that the fellowship can contribute an extra dime or two along. Wouldn't hurt them at all.
All right, and I think Paul's point is well taken, that we do need to stress, and that would be the chairperson's responsibility to do this. Delegate doesn't talk about money.
You're fixing to be chairperson, so that
that's going to change next year.
We're not.
That's going to change. Next year, it's going to revert back to the delegate.
As long as I served at GSR, all I heard was financial problems, and I got sick of hearing it. But I didn't know what it was for. Nobody mentioned what we needed. It just said we had it. And I got tired of that.
Yeah.
Bob was the first one to come up. He had a financial stress when he became delegate. They couldn't even get up to $300.
Send him to New York.
At the same time, we had in a savings certificate something like $1,200, and I wanted to know why the hell they couldn't borrow $300 from $1,200 and put it back later. Of course, Bob got sassy and said, I got my own money. And he had to spend his own money.
That should never be said, and I want to emphasize that right now, that one of the, in my district, there was a man who was elected committee member and wouldn't take any money for his expense. He said he could afford it, and it was pointed out to him that the man who succeeded him might not be able to, and we didn't elect him because he had was able to do it. We elected him because we thought he was a good service person. So anytime I hear that, I like to stop it right there. This thing doesn't depend on money. Okay, we're set then with $1,250 for the delegate. Now, along this same line, I was a delegate twice, I alternate delegate twice, and I did a lot of traveling. And the alternate has a lot of responsibility, and as I said, AA is growing, and the alternate is being called upon more and more. What we need in Georgia is two delegates. We need to draw a line straight from Columbus over to Augusta and have a North Georgia and South Georgia area.
But they're talking Jim Lowry.
But I got news for you, brother, and it ain't gonna happen.
That's right, it ain't gonna happen.
If you read the service manual real carefully, Bill Wilson said that this is not strictly political division, and that what we shall always need is enough representatives to have a feeling of the fellowship. And they feel that that's what we have, and if you look at some of these other areas, they're much larger than ours, particularly in population. So the alternate in Georgia, alternate delegate, is going to have to assume a lot of responsibility, because I haven't figured out a way yet to be in two places at the same time. A lot of times I'll call Frank and he will go for me when I can't go, and you should call on the alternate more and more too. And when we elect the new officers in September, look them over very carefully and be sure and talk to the people that you get good people to serve, and the alternate, not just somebody that stands around waiting in case the person who's serving either gets drunk or dies. We've had good alternate delegates. toot my own horn a little bit, spring. So the alternate does do a lot of traveling, and the alternate, the only thing that he gets is his room when he comes down here, and Houston didn't get that much. I'm going to make a motion that we, the assembly, pay the alternate delegate a very pittance of $200 a year. Help to pray a little of the expenses. Maybe this would be the alternate delegate. Maybe this would be a lure to. So now I'll tell you this, talking to the past two delegates from around all over the United States, I asked them. The majority of them do pay their delegates' expenses. Joe said some of them handle it by a voucher, expense voucher. Others handle it by paying us a stipend like we do. $200 wouldn't go very far, but it would help a hell of a lot. How do you people feel about this, Paul?
I agree wholeheartedly with the idea. I think there again we might as well go with 250 and keep multiples going.
Yeah. Okay, 250. Joe, how do you
I'm fine with that.
Keith?
Yeah, that sounds fine. Me, this you plan to talk to the committee members?
Yes, it has to go to the committee members.
Our recommendation, I'd go along with recommendation.
And we recommend that this be retroactive, if I'm right.
Breaking that up.
Let's go all the way back to when I was off.
Wait, let's take this thing one step at a time now. I didn't want to bring that up.
Oh, well, would you take out of that get him to go with that man?
Wait just a minute. Frank, how do you feel about this?
Well,
you're directly involved.
Yeah, I certainly think the alternate could certainly benefit from that. It would be very helpful.
It wouldn't. It certainly wouldn't pay the expenses.
No.
But it would help a little bit. If you divide that by 12, that wouldn't be very much. 250 then has been suggested. Alan, you feel?
Right.
Okay. Now, it was suggested that we make that go back to January of this year. Is everybody happy with that?
I certainly am.
Yeah, I know you are. Any objections to this? Keith, Joe? Alan?
No. Paul? One thing, it may be out of line, but I want to make sure that I've got on the mind. It seems, I've always heard that there's no such thing as an assistant in AA, that the alternate is should have the same qualification to do the same job as the person that he's alternate for.
Exactly.
It seems to me that in our service manual, we've set up different duties for the alternate. To me that they should be the same as the delegate.
Well, no, the
qualifications are
the same.
Wouldn't the duties be the same?
No.
You make
no,
an assistant
no,
delegate.
No.
No.
I think the alternate is an assistant to the delegate.
Yeah.
I was with Keith and Joe.
Well, I felt like that's how I've been used to assist you.
Frank has been, and he's been very happy with it. We've gotten along together fine. After all, you do have to have somebody that's responsible. And the delegate would know more at the particular time what help he would need.
Right.
See. If we set out a bunch of duties here, the delegate, whoever he is or she is, might want to do those. The situation might change that it would be best for the delegate to do that. And the alternate would be there available to do what for example, Frank's going to chair a meeting this afternoon at 4. Other things that Frank has done, extended meetings and things that I couldn't go to, and we've gotten by very well. I think the responsibilities would leave as it is to work with the delegate and to assist the delegate, and also the state chairperson doing the same. Is everybody happy with that then? We'll make this retroactive. That's all I've got, Keith. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
My name's Frank Rice, and I'm a truly grateful recovering alcoholic. The only thing that I had was when John was speaking of the workshop, and John, you touched on a couple you were going to mention. I think the one in Gainesville on June the 12th, you want to be sure to get that in there too. JT has got a They got a good workshop going on. But no, I'm proud to see us back at the Hilton this afternoon, this weekend. And I feel like the Hilton, I mentioned it to the citywide GSRs last Sunday in Atlanta, that, you know, I think anybody can complain, criticize, and condemn. And I think that's very contagious. And I got the letter that Hilton had sent me as to what they will do and how they were going to go about it. And we were going to be treated as some kind of special people down here this weekend, and that's probably overdue. But at the same time, I hope the attitude of the assembly is positive towards what the Hilton is trying to do for us. And, you know, if that's God's will, then that's the way it'll be, and we'll just let it go and see which way it does turn. It's also good to have people like Ellen and Bob, and this program, John had outlined this program, and I didn't know I was chairing this meeting this afternoon, but that's one hell of a program we got lined up here, and we've got to, for any of our GSRs and UGSRs just down here for service, if they've got the questions, you better believe they got the answers on that panel up there today. And I'm looking forward to it. That's all.
Thank you, Rick. Ellen?
Oh, I have nothing.
We sure glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
Sure. Bob, you also. The Hilton meeting are changing around the state. Are we planning to talk about that this weekend at all, or see how this...
What's that, Keith?
Whether we're ever going to move around to different places.
We might address that now.
It may come up, I think we ought to welcome that, because the bottom line is we're going to be talking a lot about the manual. And we want to educate our people as to what's in our manual. And, of course, what's in it is a way to change it, too. And I think the first thing we really got to do is to get our folks manual conscious. That change will come up in the manual meeting tomorrow morning. The way we elect the delegate, which is different, will come up in the manual meeting. The way we deal with the Southeastern Conference will come up. The way we deal with the state convention will come up. As we have in Georgia, certain things on the basis of the group conscience that we've been doing for a long time. And that doesn't mean that we can't do them better, and I think the folks have got to know that, but I think the first they got to know is what we do. And then if there's a substantial group conscience, that's who the boss is. And if that's the case, there is a way to do whatever we do. One of the things that in this connection is going to come up is the fact that there's a lot of strength by folks who know for having our assembly at Pine Mountain. And John and some of the others of the committee have checked that out, and they want a two-night deal. But we may be growing so fast that a two-night deal just may be in the cards pretty soon.
Yeah.
So. That's just another factor on it.
You already made plans to help hold an assembly in Pine Mountain?
No.
We're here, and so it would take three assemblies the way our manual is set up to change. And I think Joe expressed it very well. What we have to do is, as these suggestions and problems come up, is to address them. One thing I don't think anybody on this office committee wants to see is anybody shut up or just say we're not going to talk about that. But anything comes up, we're all together on that. It's something, as Joe said, we need to be thinking about. I'm going to ask Frank to say, excuse me, Keith. Keith's the chairperson, but I'm going to ask Frank to share a little with us on this idea of moving around.
You know, I guess the one thing that you people have taught me as much as anything else is try to be as open-minded as I possibly can, and staying open-minded and willing to listen. But I do have a little experience two states in particular that move assemblies. One is in Alabama and one is in Tennessee. John and I had the privilege of being asked to attend a Tennessee assembly when it was in Chattanooga. They'll bid on these at their district meeting or state meeting where the next meeting is going to be held. And the unity that we see in the state of Georgia when we come here to the Macon, come to Macon, we all come to Macon, and the unity we see here at this assembly is so far ahead and surpasses anything I've ever seen that deals with anybody that moves their assemblies from different cities, you know, throughout the state. And I think maybe I'm prejudiced. I'm sure I am. But I think Georgia Alcoholics Anonymous is as strong as it can possibly be at this point in time. I think we can get much stronger. But I think when we start talking about moving that assembly from different areas of the state, maybe Albany in September, and then jump up there to Gainesville, maybe in January, I just see a lot of unity, Keith, that's going to destroy us. Not destroy us, but it'll certainly take away from the unity we have when we're all right here, centrally located, and we're here three times a year. And I just feel very strongly on that, and that's once again trying to be as open-minded as I can. In Chattanooga, the great state of Tennessee with 29 DCN, they had a tremendous assembly, a big turnout, overflow crowd that Saturday night. But you know, out of the 29 DCMs there for the state assembly, there was only three present. That was all they had, DCMs from the state of Tennessee, three. And then they had a couple of past delegates up there in the hotel room that didn't even go to meet, and they up there playing
something else, weren't they, Frank?
Yeah, playing poker. And that was a message that John and Frank saw. And you know, this we just don't need. Not that our past delegates going to be playing poker, but the DCM did not choose to be in Chattanooga. And that doesn't say a lot for unity, and it doesn't say much for service. And I think we got the three legacies right here in Macon. And my prayer is that God will let us stay. That's all, John.
Paul, you're here. Yes, I'm Paul Keel, an alcoholic.
Yes, Paul.
Hi, everyone. And I wish that I could say that I agree with what Frank had just said, but I don't. I feel it won't be fair that this time I tell why. Because I'm looking at a letter here about what it's going to cost us in September. It's addressed to Joe. It's a copy. $1,000 rent for me.
That's been corrected.
That's correct.
I was given it yesterday.
Yeah, well, I talked to Jeff Fudge Tuesday when I got the letter. He said that's a mistake.
Yeah, that has to be.
Well, rub that out.
Yeah.
What about the coffee price? $10.
I didn't want any other details. I didn't want any details.
Well, that's the whole thing that we get from the Hilton, and I think we're trying to. I'm speaking strictly from a money viewpoint because, after all, the state treasury. I do get involved with the money, and we're being ripped off in Macon. And for that reason, I feel like whatever is necessary to correct it should be done. And I feel very strongly on that at that point.
I think this, in that connection, I gave him no promises, no assurances for September when I replied to him.
Right.
Because we had all agreed in this committee that we would see how things went
right this
time. But my plan was after the convention to talk to both you and John and arrange for renegotiation.
Yeah.
But the $1,000 thing is out by Fudge. I think we probably can renegotiate successfully for September. Hopefully the hotel will be completely done by then. I understand the final date is in the middle of August to be done. But I think it's a continuing issue. I got to agree with you, Paul.
Yeah.
It's a continuing issue, and I think we're going to have to deal with it patiently for a time or two. And if it becomes too heavy and not working, I think we've got to look at some other options. My feeling, Keith, would be that the primary option would be, I'd like to really dig into the Pine Mountain thing.
Yeah.
I'd like to really dig into that. That would take care of the manual requirement. And of course, they know how to run meetings, as we all know. We've been to meetings there. And God may be with us and the growth be so strong that the Pine Mountain thing would be realistic in terms of our people. So, you know, it's right out on the table. It's a continuing deal.
It'll be up to the GSR in the long run. We've got to be ready and prepared for this.
That's right.
Right. Right.
Let me say something along that line, Keith. Of course, we as this body, the Office Committee, have been involved in this over the past year. And Keith has been informed of everything, all of us have. And I said at the assembly in January, I guess I'm a little bit of anger because I was cold, hungry, and I wasn't alone, that we didn't intend to be mistreated anymore. And I sincerely mean that. We have gone along with this, with them raising our expenses, doing just about anything they wanted to do because we felt like we had to stay here. But the time comes that in any situation that you don't have to put up with it any longer, and we have reached that period. The only thing that the three of us, and four of us really, when we went and talked with the hotel manager, in the first place we talked to somebody who could make decisions. We didn't fool with any blunkies as we have been in the past. And we said that we would do it this time on a trial basis. Then anything Paul comes up on realistic, like $1,000. Hell, we could add $1,000 more to the delegate's expenses and divide it and give it to the delegate. And all the delegate give all the other officers to places. We're not going to donate $1,000 three times a year to this hotel.
But we have been doing
that.
We're
just not going to do it.
Yeah, but I'm not doing it. We're not doing it this time, and we're not going to do it next time.
Ever do it. That's period. And I was the last one to be convinced on this thing. But I was ready to go to Albany, and everybody here knows it. So we don't intend to put up with it at all. Now, if they will come across and be reasonable, we bring a lot of people in here. We rent a hell of a lot of rooms. I know enough about business to know that they don't have that much business during the week. Maybe they can plan a convention. They're going to have a real nice hotel. But they make a lot of money on us, food and everything else. If they're not satisfied with that, then we'll find other things. The Pine Mountain situation looks very appealing to me. That's all I've got to
you. Yeah, well, maybe they'll come through. See how to do it,
though. I think another thing
we may have to do it on an assembly by assembly basis.
Yeah.
And then it may just get that we need to go. And then if we do, we've got to have it ready, Keith, within our manual to do it.
Yeah. Another thing is, this time we came down here, we were not begging. Before we asked, would they please? And they said no. But not only did we talk to the top man, but we went in there and we were ready to go move right then. And they didn't. My feeling from Fudge was that he wanted us here, that they didn't want us to leave.
And that girl got that letter up from Fudge, didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
At least that's what he
said. That's the word.
Huh?
Yeah.
You know.
That's
no.
His barrack.
But boy, he backed right off on that one. What phone?
As long as we just say, they may be trying us. They're not really dealing with a bunch of dummies.
We have been dummies for a
That's right, no, exactly.
If we were the board of directors of a corporation,
no.
Not only would we be booted out, we could be off for two months.
We'd be in trouble.
We have to allow this hillbilly to rip us off and steal 88 months.
That's right.
Several years.
This is
my main beef. I got a real thing up on that.
That was a new.
Stolen from us for a long time.
Well,
we've allowed it.
This is a new deal. They ain't doing it this time.
I like to think of the promises, what it said. We'll not regret the past nor wish to shut the door. We'll see where our experiences can benefit others.
That's right. It'd be in benefit.
Well, maybe that kind of thing will be. Of course, at one time we had a written contract here when I was there in 78, and a new manager came in and he told Lillian, forget it. I'm not interested in your contract. I'm telling you what our rules are now. And one person I sponsor is a judge and an attorney, and he said, I'll sue him. They won't charge you nothing. I said, look, we don't do things like that.
Well, there's another change, Keith. There's another subtle change going on, and that is that the state committee is now deeply involved with the hotel. If you'll recall, when you were delegate and when I was delegate, that responsibility was somebody else's, another officer, one officer. That has changed.
That has changed.
And now the committee... The state committee, the five people on the state committee, and I'll join you in getting off the state committee January 1st. They now have...
No, you won't.
Well, I'm chairman of the office committee, but that technically is part of the state committee.
Yeah, but...
State committee is five people. Right, Keith?
Right now...
Well, what it boils down to is that they have got a bunch of hard-nosed negotiators to talk to.
That's right,
baby.
Don't
take any... And they know it.
Well, that's, they call those people businessmen, Jeff.
Right.
Is that what they do?
I have found at least one pinnacle in AA that I've always wanted. See, and that's a big title and very little responsibility.
Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, Keith.
You're a jewel.
You remember who got you that title.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that I had the floor, so I'll get back to what I'm here for. I'll talk to you a minute about expenses.
Yeah.
If you're interested in
it. We are. Damn right. We've been spending money like it's going out of style. Let's find if we got it.
That's the thing. If you with your kit, you've got a copy of the financial report, which speaks for itself. We made a few changes. The main change being, if you look down in the bottom right-hand corner, you'll see that we amount of $692.79. In other words, we've spent that much more than we've taken in. Before it, so it would take an ad machine. This is on page 12.
All right.
Prior to this, out of a financial sheet, as I said, it would take an accountant to read, so I'm trying to get this thing simplified, and that's as simple as I know how to do it, is to subtract what we've taken in, what we've paid out from what we've taken in, or vice versa, and this time we show an amount of $692.79, and this money that we have spent includes interest income, which should be reverting back to surplus, but unfortunately it's not. At this point we're spending it of $318.90. So the matter of fact is we're $1,000 really in expenses more than we've taken in. And the difference comes from our surplus or from the interest on surplus. The donations are running for the year within $100 of what they were for 1983. Unfortunately, our expenses for the year about $1,200 less than they were for 1982 at this point. Otherwise, this figure we're talking about would be $1,900 rather than $700.
You say the expenses are less?
$1,200, yeah. $1,265. I have the exact figure here, but I lose those when I'm getting to it. Here you are, right here. Our expenses in 1982 at this point was $12,965, and this time we're $11,032. So we're really talking $1,095. Right.
You know, maybe we should talk about this before we raise the salaries.
Yeah. Well, if our expenses are that much less, is our income obviously then is even more or less.
No, we're just taking less out of surplus. Our donations, the contributions from the group were running within $100 of last year. But we were taking less money out of surplus than we had this time last year. That is the difference.
What was the high point of our surplus? About 16,000?
Right.
A couple of years ago. Okay.
And now we're back to 12.
Well,
I thought you thought it would have done better than that.
Unless there's a question, well, I think it speaks for itself. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to. It's broken down now how the money's been spent. And I don't think there's any need me going over it item by item.
I'll give you a quick bottom line on your question, and maybe you'll be able to agree with me. Actually, it all has to do with the profit and loss of our state convention. We've broken even last year, and it appears hopefully we'll break even this year. The 2 years before that, we had a surplus of $5,000 or $6,000 from our state convention. That is something that takes place out in the state. We follow it up very carefully, but it's more expensive to run a state convention in places like Jekyll. We love it, but you know, you got to pay a ton for the room. But not, I don't mean the sleeping rooms, I mean the meeting rooms. And our collections on from the self, the prepaid, maintain about the same. So the surplus we got was strictly because we had the expenses down, because those two conventions in those 2 years were in Augusta and
Savannah,
and we kept the expenses down, and that's the difference in the surplus. And that's basically the
right. Basically, the difference was about $9,000, I believe, those 2 years. And of course, this money at that point was being invested, and we were making 16% interest,
right,
which
sure
is cut in half today. We're not getting that kind of interest anymore. But this helped build that 16,000.
So. Well, the dream of getting a year's expenses in advance seems hopeless at this point.
No, it does on the same basis we're operating, but there is a possibility that we're kicking around amongst the committee that we will do something about literature to our members in Central and South Georgia. And
yeah,
we had a literature operation that was well managed and set up. I predict that we would be at that beautiful goal of a year's expenses within 2 to 3 years.
Right.
Do you buy that, Paul?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, that's in the works. I mean,
along the same line, Keith, let me add this. This problem is not unique to Georgia here at 16. Same thing was brought up at the conference, and I'm sure that when Alan and Bob and Keith and Joe were there, that the same thing was true. The AA has never been self-supporting. We've always depended upon our literature for a long time. It was a great thing. And I think that in the conference belt, that what we need to do is stress the seventh tradition at all of our meetings, our workshops, our assemblies, our area meetings, and our group meetings. It wouldn't take very much from each member of Alcoholics Anonymous for us to be self-supporting. And using Joe's famous expression that AA should not become Time Life Publishing. We're not in the publishing business. AA General Service Office has done a commendable job in supplying literature and things and keeping the price down. They could raise the price of the big book just a few, maybe a dollar or two, and they wouldn't need any contributions. But this wouldn't be good for AA. If I'm a part of something, then if I feel like I belong, then I'm a part of it. And if I give my money to it, then I'll feel like I belong. We need to stress this to our membership. I had suggested that we go into the literature bookstore business, and I think maybe we should do that. But at the same time, we need to get people involved so that this is theirs, this is their fellowship. And along with a lot of other things, we really do stand at the crossroads. We need to support Alcoholics Anonymous, which saved our lives. And this is going to be talked more and more about in the United States and Canada. It's not unique just to us. General Service Office has never been self-supporting. Thank you, Keith.
Okay, thank you. Our time is up.
Is
Pat, did you have anything? Okay, well, thank all of you for all your comments. Since we're going to flow right on into the convention committee, you know, I'm going to dismiss this from this, we'll be ending here.
Good night.
Thank all of you.
Thank you, Keith.